on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
We've been all walking through these confirmations, and there's been plenty of, you know, was it such a difference in what we've had in the last 4 years? The last few weeks is just like there's always something happening, and our leader is visible, and the people that he's getting confirmed, it's kind of fun to watch.
Well, especially when you've had so many people prognosticating that so many of these folks would likely not get through. And as it turns out, a lot of that was more, I mean, I'm not saying they all sailed through with like 75 votes, but at the end of the day, he's only had one nomination that had to pull his name and say, okay, never mind, I'm not going to do it. Everybody else the president's put forward has gotten through, and I think we're going to continue that track record.
Yeah, and you know, as we headed into this, one of the names that came up was RFK Jr., as health secretary, and there were various and different concerns. One of them primarily coming from the pro-life camp, and it seems like if they were concerned and you know maybe got on their knees and prayed about what was happening in Washington in regards to this, it looks like maybe some prayers have been answered.
Well, I mean, and Steve, let's be clear. I mean, RFK Jr., for most of his life and most of his public statements, has taken, frankly, pro-abortion stances. And so the pro-life community issuing some warnings and concerns was called for. I mean, they would have been wrong not to have done that. But I think what we're seeing here is that President Trump has been so forward in his commitment to the pro-life community. He's been very forward in saying any nominee that I put, whether it's at HHS, whether it's defense, wherever it is, they're there to enact my policies and agenda, not their own. And then you had RFK, among other nominees, come forward and say, yes, that is our role to enact the president's policies, not my own necessarily personal viewpoints. But you've also had RFK come forward and say, you know, I've changed my mind on some things. I've been presented with different evidence. I've changed my mind. But also, I'm here to implement the president's will. And if he's a pro-life president, then I'm going to have to enact these policies. So, look, we will see when official acts have to take place. I mean, it's HHS and the FDA, which he oversees, that will deal with things like the abortion pill, the chemical pill that the Biden administration put forward. We expect President Trump, we hope, to rescind that, and that will involve RFK Jr. Things like Title 10 and the support for the federal tax dollars that Planned Parenthood gets. Every pro-lifer, rightly so, is calling for Planned Parenthood to be defunded. That will take an act by President Trump and, yes, by RFK Jr. So there's work to be done here, and we're going to see if everybody is going to do what they've said they're going to do. But I'm encouraged by his recent comments. I'm encouraged by his recent stance, not just on this issue, but just the way he has carried himself through the process, the remarks he made upon his acceptance. He's tweeted out Bible verses, which I think were not just for show. But I think, you know, he talks about being on his knees for the past 20 years every morning, asking God to give him an opportunity to help children in this country be healthier. I think those were sincere prayers. So let's hope that we've got sincerity across the board.
Yeah, I was encouraging. Excuse me. It was encouraging to see some of those pro-life leaders like Kristen Hawkins with Students for Life and the CEO of 40 Days for Life, Sean Carney, and others that are encouraged by what they've heard. And, you know, as to the abortion pill that you can, you know, mail order, you know, the obvious issue with that is the health of the baby, killing the baby. The health of the mother, because mothers are impacted because it's not supervised when they're using these pills. And the other thing that has reared its head is, you know, what comes after an abortion. And if a mother is at home and disposes of, you know, body parts, basically, and placenta and the things that end up in drinking water is what they're saying. There's a real concern.
And it's true. And I mean, look, I mean, when you're at a hospital, everybody sees the things that say medical waste and, you know, the big X's on things like do not touch this. This is, you know, this is going to be handled biohazard sort of things. And yet here, and that's because you're having, you know, blood, tainted blood, human, you know, as you just said, I hate to say it, but body parts, but human fluids. I mean, all those things a hospital normally treats when they have a procedure very carefully, and they don't just go throw something in the regular trash can or flush it down just a regular sink. But yet if somebody's performing an abortion at home, that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the third level of it. I mean, to your point was, that's the kind of thing, A, those procedures shouldn't be happening, but if they are, they ought to be supervised by a medical physician and doctor. And that is not happening when a woman orders pills, does it in her own home. And in many cases, she doesn't know, and certainly the person who prescribed it doesn't know if they've done it over the phone, at what point in the pregnancy she's in. Some people think, oh, I'm 2 months pregnant, and they're actually 3 months pregnant. People often don't know. And that's why it is so dangerous. And it is so, it's just so hypocritical to me, Steve, that people who talk about how much they care about women's health would ever be for something like this. I mean, it's just an atrocity.
Or even the environment. The active chemical that's in these pills, you know, getting into the drinking water, you know, that's going to cause real issues for, I mean, it's like secondhand, it's worse probably than secondhand smoke. These are issues that he will, we hope, be addressing. And obviously the pro-life community will be watching closely, but there's really some reason for hope. There's real reason to be encouraged, and there's reason to continue to pray for our nation's leaders, including these cabinet members that are getting into their office, and that they have an impact for godly wisdom, that they're protected. Pray for our president, our vice president, as he travels overseas right now. And all the things, there's just so much news going on. Like I started this with, it's
the good news is most of it's good. Most of it's good news, but you're right. I do encourage people, Steve, pray for the folks that have been put into these positions. These are not easy jobs, and pray for all the people that are going to be coming up under them, that nobody's going to know their name. You know, they don't have the big famous, you know, hearings, and they're not famous personalities. But a lot of the work that's going to be done in these agencies is going to be done by people that you and I never meet, and you don't know their name, but they're going to have a very hard job ahead of them, and they're going to have a fight ahead of them, and they need prayer.
And it's things that impact all of us. So, do continue to pray. And Genevieve, thank you so much for walking us through that article that we found at dailysignal.com, which we often bring up. But we encourage you to go to the website and find out more at that news outlet that's probably going to have a lot of information that's important to you and the issues and things that you care about. And while you're on the web, go to heritage.org, find out more about the organization that Genevieve works for and what they're doing to keep us informed as well. Genevieve, again, thanks so much and have a great weekend.
Hey, same to you, Steve. Thank you.
All right. Tax day not far off as we celebrate this Valentine's Day. We've got some insight more from John Moore Associates. Brian Cochran joins us for a Friday financial update right after this on KLYT.